Yo.
Episode 7.
Bomb atomically. Socrates, Pilopates, and Pocopates.
The cast is fucking hungry.
Yo, dude. The cast is straight Hungarian, son.
Feed the cast, people. 7 episodes. Now you know we've done this for 7 weeks. So you have like a bit of confidence. That's more than I've done anything.
I have not done anything for 7 weeks ever.
So get to sharing, hitting like and whatnot.
Yeah.
Rate us on your favorite podcast app. That's actually the most effective thing I've come to learn.
If you can just take right now, pause this joint and go give us a rating of 5 stars, I will literally, not literally, light myself on fire on the White House lawn.
Wow, dude. Real quick, I don't know if you noticed, but do you have any thoughts on the fact that somebody anonymously gave us 3 stars on Apple?
How many are we supposed to get? 5?
Up to 5, and all of our others are 5. So this guy was just like, I thought it was mid.
So he took the time out of his day
to be like, you know what this is? Mid.
To drop a tray on us?
A 3.
Wow. I'd like to tell that guy a little message from the boy Coil. I need you to do this, right? Go play freeze tag, solo freeze tag on I-95 at rush hour.
Listening to Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go listen to the a 5-star.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
See what
podcast.
A 5-star has to offer you and then come back and talk to me.
Now that you've made us a 4.8.
Yeah, dude. You know what? You messed up the whole algorithm, kid.
Jeez.
Maybe that's just his mission in life, is to just mess up algorithms.
I was thinking about it, though. Like, I know that I ask people to rate and leave a comment and stuff like that, but I'm not generally the guy who does that on my time, like when I'm watching stuff. I'm the guy that, like, never misses a beat, never misses an episode or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't need to, you know, do all the things. As much as I appreciate people who do, I just never, like, you know what it is? It just skips my mind.
Like dropping comments on YouTube videos and stuff like that. A lot of times I forget to do that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? But I remember when I was making videos, I enjoyed that shit. You'll like the back and forth and what have you and whatnot.
Yeah. I think for me, what it is that every time I go to leave a comment on a YouTube video, it's not something I want to say. It's always like, yo, clip your fingernails. And then I'm like, no, wait, I'm just not going to leave this.
You're like, yo, Holmes, you washing them sheets anytime this week? Or are we just going to rock like that?
We're just going to pretend like your bed isn't on the floor or anyway, like, comment, subscribe, go fix our Apple rating. We are not a 4.8. We are a 5.
And do the logistics, find out who that guy is, and let's just call him out and shame him publicly.
That's what I was going to say about that guy. Like, he is the guy who took the time, launched the app, went review, hit the thing, and then was like,
I could easily hit this 5-star.
But I could easily make it 2.
This 3 is just going to rock their whole world.
Shout out to that
guy. Core.
Shout out to the other guy too. There was another guy. I think he's a troll account because he has the same avi as a troll account that we had to block recently. But anyway, he was like, yo, can you break down this episode like every single thing that you guys talk about so I can decide if I even want to listen? And I was like, bro, it's here for the people who want to listen.
What? Oh my God. Yo.
On your free time, will you just break down every single thing that you guys said?
Yo, if you could just write me
a reply, if you could just write me a personal email.
If you could just write me like a 100-word essay on the synopsis of this episode, I'd really appreciate it to decide if I want to give you my time or not.
I'm just trying to support.
I'm just trying to hang out with you guys on this Saturday. You know?
That guy's awesome.
Yeah, thanks for that, bud.
Anyway, 7 episodes in, I'm really happy with how it's going so far. I got a lot of really good feedback on episode 6. I wish it was more specific because I don't know what people really loved about that episode, but it was nice to see. I'm glad that we've been so consistent. That's the most important thing for me with this, is just to keep it going. So what are some stuff we could talk about? What are some things we could talk about today? Have you seen any big sneaker news this week, Coil?
Let's see here. Well, today the Sakai Waffle and Blazer drops. They did a thing where they doubled up all the different pieces of the shoe. They threw like 2 midsoles, 2 swooshes, 2 tongues, all that jazz on there. And I actually do like the waffle.
Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah, I'm not going to go out of my way and run hurdles, but I like it. I think it's a cool shoe.
I think it's cool too. I think something that I'm dealing with lately, and I don't know if this is normal, but I have like hype fatigue. Maybe
I don't. Yo,
is that
I do
a good
too.
Term?
Like, no,
it's
I do too.
Just like the more I see certain things, I'm like, yeah, I don't really like it. The Sakai is a good example. Like the very first time I saw the Sakai, I was like, oh, this shit's fire.
Yo, they've been rolling the shoe out for like 13 years.
They've been rolling
though.
It out.
God, man.
The who's who have been wearing it.
Yeah.
The Instagrams have been posted and
the grams have been
posted.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Discovered and whatever. Yeah, man. By the time Sneakers App was like, yo, do you want us to remind you about this? I was like, nah.
I don't think I need to be reminded anymore.
I'm good.
You know?
I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's almost like I'm in a funk, by the way. And I don't know if that's like appropriate podcast discussion or whatever, but I've been in a little bit of a funk. Like, I don't know what it's like to be clinically depressed or whatever. Like, I don't know what it's like for people who deal with it on a regular basis or have anxiety or anything like that. And I don't ever like to say that I do or whatever, blah, 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 because I don't think on a regular basis. But if you could catch depression like you catch a flu or a cold, that's what
that
I feel like
a bi-weekly
like
thing.
If that was a thing, like I feel like I caught it this week.
No.
Like I just was like, ugh.
No, I feel like I feel like depression and anxiety is something that is kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like I think we all go through ups and downs. Now clinical is when it's just nonstop.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You don't enjoy movies, you don't enjoy television. Like you're just not feeling life at all.
Yeah. So one of the things that like I'm a little self-conscious. So one of the things that I'm definitely, believe it or not, especially to the audience who might have a certain impression of me, one thing I am definitely is a little self-conscious. Like in that when I feel that way, for example, like I've had a couple weeks that I've really felt rough, right? Mm. I actually feel self-conscious saying it because I immediately think like, oh, it's kind of like the on-trend thing right now. To say, you know, I haven't really been feeling myself
even
and I'm bringing
music,
awareness to it. And I just want to share that it's okay to share. And like, I don't want to like look like that guy. I'm self-conscious of looking like that guy. And then the other end of it is I'm really self-conscious of like people who really deal with this in a longer format or in a deeper way. I still don't feel like I could relate or whatever. Anyway, I've just been in a mood, but what it's done is it's given me like a totally different perspective. And I'm in a group chat with Joe LaPuma and the Don Drew. We were talking about it the other day.
Man, I would love to be in that group chat. Guys, let me in.
And I was talking to them about it the other day. I've been like, guys, you ever felt like this or whatever? And I think it was Drew was like, well, how are you feeling? And I'm like, like somebody put glasses on me. Like I'm looking at everything now and it's just like, oh, is this what it's always looked like? And I feel like I like less people. In the space, like I see how people behave and I recognize it's like their normal behavior in social media or whatever, but I'm like, oh man, I really could unfollow this guy. Like for sure I don't need this. Dude, is this weird?
No.
I'm just being open. If this is not entertaining or whatever, this is just real.
Well, check this out. It is because I think a lot of people go through it. Like myself, here's my book, ready? Mm-hmm. I'll open it a little bit for you guys, right? Because I'm an open book, right?
Gotcha.
So I go to see a therapist.
Okay.
Right?
Dope.
I'm like Tony Soprano where it's like...
You have a crush on her?
Well, I did, and then she left, and now I got this old head.
Ah, gotcha.
And we're cool and all, but like I had a really good thing with this young joint. But I find that I go in there, and it's just nice to unload every once in a while. Like once a week, I go in there and I just let it out.
Yeah.
Now I'm not talking about like breaking down, but like if something's bothering me, like it's their job to listen. And sometimes you feel like people don't want to listen to your shit.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, you do get self-conscious about like, oh, like, why is it like, I look at all the good things I have, right?
Yeah.
And all the positives. And yes, they do outweigh the negatives, but that doesn't distract from the negatives that they're still there. And like, I heard something stuck with me and it said, no feeling is invalid, which means like a feeling is a natural thing that happens to you. Like on a daily basis, we feel all kinds of way and each one has its place.
Yeah.
Like it's not wrong. No, a feeling can't be wrong.
Right.
So if you're feeling a kind of way, like the best thing to do is just own it, try to figure out why it's there, and like try to, you know, I don't know what. Like,
yeah, for me, like I definitely know why I've been feeling the way I've been feeling, and that is that I need to make changes. Like I need
change is tough, bro.
I need to, and I know what that means for me, and I know how difficult some of those changes are going to be to make, and I know that people are going to get hurt, and I know that I need to do things, you know.
So he's going to start his own podcast next week called
Hell No, this ain't going nowhere. Hit like, subscribe. But I'm gonna tell this story in part because, you know, here we are, and whether this is entertaining or not, it's real, and this really happened. But in B part, or the other part being that, as dark as this might sound, like I hope that you laugh at it with me, because I laughed at it. This is some dark humor stuff. But I was sitting on my couch, and I like went to pet the dog, and a dog cold shouldered me.
Ooh.
Just was like, get out of here. So, and like ran and did its own thing on the other end of the couch.
Yo, that makes you feel kind of way.
And the TV wasn't on. There was like no reason for me to be in this living room alone.
And there you were.
And I'm in my own thoughts, and they start piling all these things that I feel like I need to change. Man. You know, concerns about money and family and this and that and the other thing. And it's all just piling. This is what I mean by feeling depressed and feeling like I caught it. These are not new things. These are things in some cases are 10, 11, 12 years old in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like all of a sudden I can't ignore them, or they're coming over me randomly.
Okay. Right?
So I'm sitting here and they're randomly piling on, and I feel literally as if I'm sinking. So like my living room almost like disappears, right? In that, like, I know that I'm comfortable and I'm thinking about this stuff, and there's like a little bit of dread, and I'm not looking at anything or paying attention to anything specifically. I don't notice the lighting or the temperature of my apartment, nothing. I'm just, right? And all of a sudden I think, God, I hope you guys can laugh at this, but I think, man, if I just died, I wouldn't have to think any of this. Like, none of this stuff would matter. And I just like instantly went, whoa.
Like,
that was dark as hell.
Yes.
But I laughed at it. And I hope that, you know, whether this is just really real and like you needed to hear that somebody else has felt like that or whatever you take from this, I hope some of you laugh, because that was my general reaction. I was just like, wow, that is the single darkest thing I've ever thought ever. Holy wow. And it wasn't. Don't read me the wrong way. It wasn't like suicidal. It wasn't I just thought like,
it
wow,
was a thought.
None of this stuff, like all of this stuff only matters temporarily was sort of the thought. Like they're not, it's not like.
Dude, that's the definition of a suicide. It's a permanent, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Right. And I wasn't thinking it that way. I was thinking more like if I didn't exist or whatever, this is not what people would talk about me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like if God forbid anything ever happened to me, they wouldn't be like, man, he really should have paid that one bill or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they would say whatever it is they like about me or whatever. Like, you know, life is about so much more than those things.
Yeah.
So as dark as a moment as it was, I don't know. I was just like, oh man, also none of this matters. But anyway, all this to go 360 and kind of apply it to our little space on the internet or whatever, it made that whole thing look silly. Like, dude, I look at my Twitter right now and it literally looks like an elementary school cafeteria. Like, I have a hard time participating right now. Well, like, if you've been following me, you know I've put out like 4 tweets in 2 weeks.
Well, like last week, our podcast revolved a little bit around the current state of YouTube in our world.
Right.
And that was what I got from it, was like looking at the topics and all of the what are they called? Not the thumbnails, but like the titles, the video titles.
Yeah.
It all just kind of looked crazy to me, and I felt out of place.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to equate one to the other, right? So that was sort of like, hey guys, I've been feeling down, and if you ever feel down, I think it's perfectly normal. And here I hope you chuckled at this super dark thought I had, like any black comedy that you might enjoy, right? And now, like, comma, right? Moving forward.
Yeah.
I'm also just at a different stage in my life suddenly, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I don't feel pressured to post to Instagram, for example. Like, it's almost more embarrassing to say that at almost 36 years old, 3 months ago, I was like, man, I haven't posted in 2 days. Like, I need to, I don't know, get an outfit on or crack open a new pair of shoes, or I need to get something up. I used to feel like that.
Do you think you could live with a flip phone?
No, I'm not there.
You know, then you could you just drop off the face of the earth with that shit?
No, the reason being is like the one thing that I still definitely care about and enjoy is like creating and sharing.
Yeah,
which
you're
I don't do a ton of anymore, but even when I take a photo, like
you put
I'm
time
super
your photos look
anal,
good, dude.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Your photos look good, bro.
So, I'm not ready to be like, you know, out the game or whatever. But it looks like, I don't know, it just suddenly looks really silly. And I guess I'm just saying all this because maybe some feedback on this would be good for me right now. Maybe it would be good to hear people be like, oh no, like I get it. The whole thing really is silly.
Yeah.
Or like I want some of the, like I know people in my life who take this shit very, very, very seriously. And like, I would almost love for them to stick to that or let me know that they know it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I just want people to, I just want to know where everyone stands. Like everybody that's left, like everyone that I think I have mind space for now in this new state, which okay. is, which let's say is, let's say I had the least amount of mind fucks to give. And now I have half as many. So I want to see where people are really at. Like, yo, bro, are you really like seriously congratulating yourself and fucking tweeting like you won a Grammy, or are you like none of this shit matters? Let me know, because I need to decide like where I put you. Hey, other guy, are you seriously writing your third retirement speech on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm about to give this. I'm about to hang this up, man. Things are getting rough out here on these IG streets.
Just go away.
Yeah.
Just stop making. As somebody who's done it, if you just stop making YouTube videos, that works too.
I've done it too. My thing is like, you heard the phrase rock bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only time I've ever felt like, you know, obviously I've been through some turmoil with addiction and whatnot.
Right.
You hear the term rock bottom. And when you get there, it's almost like a relief,
right?
Because you're looking up and right. it's like it can't get any worse, even though it can. They say you always like travel with a shovel. So when you think that last rock bottom was bad, like keep going in that direction and you'll see how far down you can go. Yeah. Like you can just keep going further. You can come out the other side though.
Right.
And my thing is like, not the cool part, but like when you really lose everything, like I heard a comedian, Norm Macdonald, he was addicted to gambling and he lost everything 3 times.
Jesus.
Everything he owned, compulsive sports gambling. He said that there was a point where he wanted to go get a Coca-Cola out of a vending machine and it was 95 cents and he had 65. So to get the 95 cents, instead of asking, he went to the nickel slots in Atlantic City and tried to raise up a dollar to get the Coke, and it took him like 6 hours.
Dude, that's crazy.
What I'm saying is like, he felt a feeling of like almost relief, where it's like when you finally acknowledge these things that aren't cool in your life at the moment.
Yeah.
Like when I got to my real bad point, it was like I knew I was going to be locked up.
Right.
The girl that I was in love with basically was like, look, you know, you're a lost cause at this point. I'm out.
Right.
And when the first night I was in there, it was kind of like I could exhale. It's like waiting to exhale on the next episode of As the World Turns, you know? And it's like, I remember this guard brings me like a tea bag and a copy of The Count of Monte Cristo. And I sat there and I drank that nut ass tea with no sugar. And I read this jailhouse copy of The Count of Monte Cristo. And for like the first time in months, I felt okay.
That's dope.
You know what I mean? But like, yeah. I think like if anybody out there is feeling that kind of way, like, I hate to say the glass is half full, because like sometimes the glass is half empty. Sometimes that glass half empty is full of piss.
Right.
Like sometimes there is no glass. It's a broken shitty glass. Yeah. Like, so, you know, all emotions, like I said, are valid, dude. And,
yeah, dude, that's a good point. And I think maybe I should say that too. I'm in a position like I can recognize, especially, man, if you're listening to this, you might look at me a certain way where you need me to recognize this real quick. I'm in a position a lot of people would love to be in. Like, I'm not in a bad way. And I don't want to say that.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to create that impression, or I don't know if my family, listens to this or whatever, I don't want anybody worried.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm just saying that, like, even so, you could feel stuck is a way I would say that I feel.
Dude, some of the richest people in the world are the most miserable.
You know? And so,
it doesn't
like,
matter.
So, I don't know. I guess if this is, I don't know, whatever, empowering or something that you needed to hear or even just entertaining, I think that it's kind of cool to do the juxtaposition there, right? Like, you talked a lot about the optimism you found at rock bottom. And I'm saying, like, I feel like shit and I'm in a pretty good way. Like, I don't have problems like I've had in my life. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all right. Mm-hmm. I just also feel a little bit stuck. Like, I want to make sure that I'm continuing to grow and get opportunities and be appreciated. And you know what I mean?
Well, like, I look at your YouTube career, yeah. Right? When you first started YouTube, you were kind of like the status quo, kind of similar to what everybody was doing. And then in a very short order, you saw the change where it was like, you like kind of mastered this one, John. So let me just step it up and do this. Yeah. And then like the editing got crazy. And then like, you know, next thing you know, it's a black and white 7-minute tutorial with voiceover and production value. And it's like, and then when you get to the top of that, the tippy top, it's time for something new. So I think that's healthy. And that's probably what brought you to where you are today.
I think that I'm obsessive in that way. And I think that where I'm at right now looks too much like 5 years ago. That's just how I feel. Like the amount of money I'm making, the position I'm holding, the opportunities I'm being offered, I need to get married.
Wow.
is legit. Like I'd need to and want to, but man, I haven't.
Wedding's wedding's gonna be lit.
You know what I'm saying though? Like it's just too.
It's life, man. You're right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like if I don't put that pressure on myself, I'm good here.
You don't want to have this in 5 years.
I've always said this about myself too. I understand the narrative. I appreciate the narrative. I respect the narrative of like when you come from nothing and you've worked hard and you've done everything to give yourself an opportunity and you get out and you build, right? I understand that's the American way or the way of so many of my heroes or whatever. Like I know that story. I have a slightly different story in that my parents had done that. My parents were ghetto kids from first generation immigrant families who got pregnant outside of marriage very young, who were broke. My father had to work 2 jobs. My mom went to school and then switch places and then do all of these things to give me an opportunity. But by the time I was like 8 or 9 years old, my parents were in a really good way and I got really great opportunities, right? So I think I've mentioned it before on here, I tested Mensa, like genius level intelligence. I had private schooling, I had experiences. I had traveled. I came from an upper middle class family at that point. It's a different pressure. It's not a pressure like to get out and to survive and to make it, but also like not to squander it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to, and so, and then to the other end of that, and I don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast, is my brother, who comes from the exact same household. We weren't raised separately.
Now, is he older or younger?
He's 2 years younger.
Okay.
He's been in a lot of trouble and is an addict. I think you're always an addict. Is an addict. Who's doing better at the moment. And he's got 2 children by 2 different women that he's with neither, and neither are good friendships or relationships. Like he's had it rough. Or he's made it rough for himself. So I've got that too, right? So there's like this, everyone's expected so much of me. They've given me all of the tools, right? And then I have like, I don't know what it's called. If it's like survivor's guilt or good son syndrome or whatever. I never want to be like I've never called my parents to be like, dude, this is getting deep. But I've never called them to be like, I had a shitty day or I need somebody to talk to or I need help or can I borrow $100? That's never been an option.
That's not your role.
Yeah, dude, it's never been an option to ask for help.
Dude, I know completely.
Because I have to stay completely off their radar as far as I'm concerned or call with a bunch of good news. Yep. So my mom smiles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's a TV show called Intervention, right? It used to be on.
Right.
And this same dynamic plays out in so many families.
Really?
Where it's like,
this is worth talking about.
Yo, there's always like the one brother that is that is great. He has his own place. He has a good job. He has a nice little life for himself. And then there's the other brother who kind of looks up to that, and maybe the shoes to fill that don't fit. And like, you know, the kid that is doing well, he almost looks at it like, well, man, like I can't be a burden to my parents because they got this other thing going on. And like, it almost puts an unfair pressure on him.
Yeah, it's weird. So that's what I'm trying to say about this whole thing. Like, since I started talking about this feeling that I'm having, I've been trying to say the same thing. And that is like, I'm okay. I'm in a good place. But I live with a tremendous pressure. And I understand that it's not the typical story,
but it's
right?
Still valid. Yeah, it's valid.
Yeah, but it's like my own, this is my thing or my truth, right? I feel like I need to excel and continue to excel, and I need to go somewhere from here, or I'm not good. Right. I don't know. Well, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, but it's legitimate that I don't feel good.
Right.
Stuck.
What I will say is that for those that don't know, Rack and I knew each other from YouTube, like a couple, you know, years ago.
Years.
I started coming around a store, Lapstone and Hammer, where we actually met and stuff like that. But I've always, whenever I see a peer of mine doing well in a way that I yearn to do, like in that same way, like I end up looking up to that person. And I think like, man, like look how good this dude's doing. You know what I mean? Like that's awesome, and it makes me try harder, and it makes me. To try to do my best so I can be in that situation. But the crazy thing is I look at like Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Like I saw an episode of The Shop, right? And I was just checking out what all these like rich dudes like Jimmy Iovine and who's like the head of a huge record label, Interscope and all this stuff. But I was and Pharrell, and I was looking at their lives like, man, wouldn't that be great? Like, but you know what? Like they have issues too.
Like, yeah, dude. And part of that, like
everybody does.
It's
you know what I mean?
Funny that you name those athletes, like, because to make that parallel real quick or that analogy, I sometimes feel like, are we not the Bulls? Am I at least not Dennis Rodman? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
can I be Kukoc for
like,
a minute?
Am I the only one who thinks so? Because I'm not like getting looks like that. I don't know. You know what I mean? And that's listen. First of all, I want to make it very clear. Especially to the sneaker community, that I'm not talking about likes. I'm not talking about getting a sneaker collab or a popularity. I don't need, I mean, I want this podcast to get very popular, but this isn't about the number of subscribers I have or whatever.
Right.
This is about my personal growth as a creative, in my career, as a person,
as a
boyfriend, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right.
So as a co-anchor of the number one podcast in the fucking world.
Dude, as one half of the people who killed Joe Rogan's career.
Not yet, but eventually we're coming.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a lot of pressure I put at myself, but there's also some reality. There's also some like, I'm not getting what I've earned. And so I've got to make changes. You know what I mean? And that's like, it's difficult. And it's something that like, you know, and then, you know, you until you deal with it, like it could be a weight the way that I described that it was. Anyway, I really hope we've given this 30 minutes. You know, this is not a self-help podcast or, you know, I don't know what category we're in at this point because we've talked about so many different things.
We're in crazy categories right now.
Definitely let us know, you know, if you felt that, if you feel that way, if you can relate.
Yeah, please,
if you want to
comment, man.
Dude, literally, I'm not sensitive either. If you want to call me a pussy, be like, how can you make that money and have that job and get those sneakers and still be upset? Go ahead, dude. I'll laugh with you. It's all good. I mean, that would tell me that you weren't really listening, but you know what I mean? There's like, you don't have to feel any particular way about this, but let me know if you feel any way about this or if you ever feel the same way, you know? I think that stuff's interesting, man. And like I was saying before, like I'm really trying to make light of it. I feel this way seriously, like I caught depression like you catch a cold, and like I'm bound to get over this if I give it enough time or like just cuddle in a blanket and watch 90 Day Fiancé or whatever. I'm going to get over this like
this
the flu
too shall pass,
you know. But that's just how I've been feeling this week. Anyway, is that something you've ever you like
oh my
I
God.
Mean I know you've had real yeah. problems. I hate to say real problems. I don't want any, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. I don't want anyone's problems to feel marginalized, including my own.
Oh, no.
Right? But I know that you've been in tougher situations than the situations I'm describing.
Well, my problem is...
Is this something you deal with regularly?
I look at it like I'm on borrowed time right now. Like, I never thought I'd get to be this old.
Right.
I didn't plan for it. I think a lot of the people that I grew up with were in that same boat. We partied really hard.
Right.
And I think that I was, at the time, I was okay with dying early.
Right.
Which sounds nuts. I know it sounds nuts, but at the time that was my mind state. And, I never vocalized this to anybody, but when you do certain things to yourself, to your body, you kind of are basically doing that. You know what I mean? And now I've been on the opposite end of that, where it's like, I am taking care of myself.
That's good, man.
Yeah. And I'm happier for it. So like, when I look at life today, I look at it like it's a blessing. And I have a lot of friends and family members that aren't here today. And like that some of them are still out there doing what I was doing 12 years ago. And to those people, yo, man, I really do feel for them or whatever. I wish I could do more. You know what I mean? But as far as like as life goes, like addiction is a very selfish thing, and at some point, so is sobriety. You have to come number one,
right?
And I used to, like, I was a people pleaser big time, like in school, and I always, like, I got picked on, a fat kid, you know what I mean? So I would try to make other people laugh as a way to, as like a defense mechanism. So it's like, there's that story about the sad clown where it's like, you see some guy crying on a corner and the person walks up and they're like, hey man, you feeling down? Like, there's this clown down the street. He's amazing. He cheers everybody up. And the dude looks up and he's like, yo, I am that clown.
right.
And it's like some deep shit where you're like,
oh damn, snap.
Yo. But, I'd like to say that like, yo, today, like, I woke up, you know what I mean? I brushed the chompers, brushed the teeth. I looked at the stacks of sneakers that I now own, which are like little trophies to me. They're all little signs that I'm doing the right thing, because if I wasn't, they would already be on eBay, right?
Right.
I picked out a pair I've never worn before. I bought them years ago. I thought, yo, this is what I'm going to hit them with today. You know what I mean?
Boom. What'd you get on today?
I got a pair of Saucony. I wanted to give Saucony a little love, you know. Nice. Eric Smolin, a great dude.
He is.
It was a collaboration he did with a store called Rise NY, Rise New York.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Peso.
Yeah, they're called
Keys. Or was that Rise?
Keys Open Doors. So
I remember those joints.
White very and black, cool. You know, very, very nice materials. So I wanted to just smash people's eyeballs with them today, you know, just hurt neck bones.
Nice. I've got Geiger's on, the 002.
Geiger is crushing it.
Some research and development. We have a project coming, so.
All right.
Well, I mean, I'd be wearing a shoe anyway, but you know, like when you have something coming up, you're like, oh, I got to put those on. yeah, but definitely pretty cool. I'm actually a bigger fan of the 001, but
I love both.
I know this one's a lot more popular. Yeah. It's a lot more approachable.
I like laces though. I like that little airbag he has in it. Yeah, the first one
was so amazing. And in particular, the first color.
The black and white?
Yeah, it's fire.
I would kill for a pair of them.
Anyway.
Literally murder.
We might have one at Lapstone.
Oh my God, don't tell me that.
I don't know, we might.
Don't tell me that.
We'll look into it.
Oh my God.
How about switching gears to something super lighthearted? So like last weekend I went and saw Aladdin, which was like the Disney movie of my childhood.
Prince Ali,
right?
Alias he, Ali Ababa.
So when I was a kid, and I think a lot of people know this, at about the age that movie came out, like 10, 11, 12 years old, I was living in Saudi Arabia.
Wow, that's
that is a
stuntastic quote right there. I was living over there.
I was. And so Aladdin is like my Disney movie. I think a lot of people
identify with one.
For sure.
To me, Lion King.
Lion King, I was going to say, in our age group.
The obvious to me and a lion, you know, the obviously.
You're very Mufasa-like.
Come on, cuz.
You know
what I mean?
They should have tapped you for the.
I'm more like that warthog dude.
Oh, Pumbaa.
Yeah, that's more like me right there.
Anyway, I was nervous because I thought for sure they would just ruin it. And then I'm not like, this is Philly, I might get struck by lightning, but I'm not the biggest Will Smith fan.
Okay.
Like, I think he's done some incredible stuff, but for the most part, he's like Will Smith being Will Smith.
Oh man. His Instagram is kind of cringy at times.
So I was like, oh man, he's got to do the genie, and then obviously the look of the genie.
How do you follow up Robin Williams?
Yeah, it's weird. And then he had done this quote where he was like, "Oh, I saw that Robin Williams kind of leaned on his stand up," which is inaccurate, by the way. The genie was literally like created from Robin Williams' stand up. So
you can tell.
Anyway, he was like, "So I thought I would just lean on like my Fresh Prince rap hip hop persona for the genie." And I thought when I read that quote, like, "Oh, this is so doomed."
That's cringy.
But the movie is really pretty good, and his performance is really pretty good. Like, I left the theater, and everybody in my family knows that I really like Aladdin, the cartoon, the original, you know, where that's important to me.
Classic.
So they were like, "What did you think?" I gave it a solid C, like, as a super fan of the right age of the original. It was entertaining, and I think... or the comment I made was that, like, to make a movie that's good for a 10-year-old today and an almost 40-year-old who saw the first one at 10 years old is a difficult task.
Very difficult.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think in this case, they made the movie better for a 10-year-old right now. Like, if I had a son or a daughter that was 10, 11 years old, they would love that movie and not think anything of it. And may even if I played them the cartoon right afterwards, may even still prefer the new one.
I heard Princess Jasmine was a dime piece too.
She is a dime, and she can sing more. Pretty much the rest of the cast, I didn't think, including Will Smith, singing was real rough.
Ooh.
But overall, it was a good time. Anyway, it made me think, and I guess now we've talked about it, about like favorite movies or whatever. And I was thinking, well, Aladdin is so obviously my favorite Disney movie, and you were saying Lion King for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Lion King's got a live action. How do you feel about these live action things? Like the fact that they're going back and making all of these things.
You know what? Disney at this point is so large that they can make anything kind of happen. Like, yeah, if you told me that they were going to make a live action Jungle Book, I would say you were nuts. How would they do that? Like, and they kind of did it. And then they did, what was the other one?
Jungle Book.
Tarzan.
Cool.
They did Tarzan, I think.
They've done Cinderella. They've done...
Cinderella's more feasible because it's human
Beauty
beings.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the live action that is Jungle Book, let's say, right, is really only the one human boy and a bunch of computer animation, right?
The snake was crazy.
So
like,
Lion King being live action now is really just computer animation.
But Lion King is a great story. I saw the play. And in the play, it's just actors with these big like costumes on, right?
Yeah.
And there's a part where obviously Simba's father gets murked.
Oh, and, shit. Spoiler alert.
Yo, wow. Did I just ruin that for people? But there was this little boy in like the third row, and it's deathly quiet. And he goes, "They just killed Simba's daddy."
Oh, no.
Yo, and the whole place was like, oh. And that's when I threw up, shat myself, and rolled out.
Oh, man.
Did I just make that up or did I?
No one knows.
You know what I'm saying?
What's your favorite movie overall?
Ooh, that's like me trying to say what my favorite strain of coffee is.
It's difficult.
But if I had to choose a movie that I could just throw on at any time, any day...
Let's do like three, right? Does that make it easier? Right. Because I would hate to have to cut.
Shout out to Premium Pete. Because me and the boy Premium have a very similar taste in movies.
Okay, so I'm definitely going gangster.
I'm very Goodfellas-y.
Yeah,
I'm very
Goodfellas-like.
I'm very Godfather. You know, only one and two.
Yeah,
three. It got a little. You know, I got a little verklempt when I saw three. I had to fall back all the way.
Right.
And then I could go for that third one. Man, it's really tough. But like, there's certain movies I could throw on. I'll give you a couple. The Usual Suspects, Kaiser Sose.
Nice.
The greatest trick Coyle ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? That.
True story.
And then, true story. But then I like odd shit, like RoboCop.
Dude, RoboCop is awesome.
Yo, dude.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
I'll buy that for... I like when he rolls into the crib and the dude's doing coke with the two chicks. Dude, and he's like, bitches, leave.
I can't remember the exact line now, but I've used the phrase sexercise.
Yeah.
Which I think bitches, is from RoboCop.
Bitches, leave. He's like, that must be the Cristal. I ordered another bottle. And the dude comes to the door, bitches, leave. And they're like, call me.
Real quick, before I get to my top three... A guilty pleasure in the same vein is definitely Face Off.
Ooh.
Remember that when Travolta and Nicolas Cage trade faces?
Do you know Nicolas Cage has been typeset for characters that other people got? Like, he was supposed to be Superman.
That's right, yeah.
Hold that for a second. Just hold. Yeah. Put that in your
imagine
pipe.
Imagine that.
Put that in your pipe. Light that joint up and smoke that for a sec. And then there's another one, The Wrestler.
That I can't even
Mickey
imagine.
Mickey Rourke. I shit you not. He was there on set. He was ready to go.
Wow.
And at the last minute, the director was like, you know what?
You're Nick Cage.
You're Nicolas Cage, and this is Mickey Rourke, and it should be Mickey Rourke. And they made the perfect decision.
Wow.
Same director made Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, Darren Aronofsky. Yeah.
And he cast Marlon Wayans in that movie and crushed it with Jared Leto.
Yeah, dude, that movie's amazing.
Yeah,
so is Black Swan, he did. I liked Mother a lot too. I don't know if you saw, but it was super trippy.
The Wrestler is a beast of a movie, dude.
Yeah, he's very good. He shout out to Edward R. Murrow High School. That's where he went in Brooklyn. I used to work with them. Mm. And it was funny because when I was working at Edward R. Murrow or with Edward R. Murrow, he had done Requiem for a Dream or whatever and was like kind of heating up. And Marissa Tomei, who also went to school there.
Such a dime. Oh.
And one of the Beastie Boys also went to school there. Anyway, when I was working for the school, they were like so proud of these people that they would, you know, because it's a performance art school, if you're not familiar, in Brooklyn. And like as soon as I stepped foot, they were immediately like, yo, you know who went here? And then I met Marissa Tomei there, and it was just like, oh my God, she's so fun.
Oh my God.
It was like, I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that's like I don't know if it's like she's famous, and I know that she's famous, so she had an aura about her.
I know what you mean. It's like Jennifer Lopez.
Or if she always had an aura around her. Like if you just saw her, were you always like, I don't know, but I was like,
Yeah, it's tough, man.
It was crazy.
All right, so what are your flicks? What are you into?
If I had to pick three that I could put, and I like weird movies, I'm going to get that out of the way. Because I went to film school, and when I went to film school, there was this exercise we did where it would be like, who is doing what where? And that's all you needed to make a movie. So this is way before all of the remakes and stuff like that and comic book movies and stuff. These things I enjoy. But what I've always liked about the idea of like screenwriting or film production is the idea that that's like all you need, right? Like who, me and Coyle, are doing what? Recording a podcast. Where in Philadelphia and what happens? And now you're telling
the
story.
And that's the story.
Right? So anyway, to that, in that vein, some of the best examples of that being done really well, in my opinion, are Memento. I really like that movie. Have you ever seen that one?
Crucial.
If you don't know, it's about a guy who's trying to avenge the death of his wife, but he can't remember anything longer than 24 hours ago. So he starts tattooing little clues onto himself.
That's crazy.
And every morning he wakes up and tries to figure it all back out. That's a really good movie. It's got a cool twist. And then American Beauty, which is kind of weird because that was by far my favorite movie. And then the Kevin Spacey stuff, like, man, I hate that he
weird
is a
dude,
creep
man.
Or a weirdo or whatever because I love that movie.
He's a good actor.
Shout out to Wes Bentley, who I went to high school with, who's in that movie. Mm. So American Beauty, I could watch at any time, all the time. Mm. Memento is one of my favorite.
And then the Mario Brothers movie with John Leguizamo, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
With the fucking little head Koopa Troopers.
Oh, absolutely. And Dennis Hopper as Bowser.
Dude. I didn't even think, like, as soon as you said Dennis Hopper, I saw him.
Wow.
In that movie.
Oh, my God.
I do remember being excited for that movie when I was a kid. There's never been a good video game movie ever.
Uh-uh.
But anyway, let me think real quick for a third.
Dude, Where's My Car?
No. Darn it. No. Although, as far as comedies are concerned, that's not a bad choice.
I like Animal House. Caddyshack. These are a couple of my, like the good joints.
Talladega Nights.
Stripes.
I think fucking amazing.
Oh, Stripes is good.
Oh, dude, you're going like a little older than I would go. Half Baked.
Ooh, Half Baked. I like when he's like with your Puerto Rican friend. He's like, I'm Cuban B. He's like, ah, yes, Cuban B. They're like, what part of Jamaica are you from? He's like, right by the beach. Bye. Samson Simpson, a stick to my story. And he's like, go get B-14. He's like, B-14? What the hell's B-14? It's a big crossbow.
I think the comic book, I think the comic book nerd in me wants to say maybe the Dark Knight for my third one.
Dark Knight. Yo, when they send, when Ra's al Ghul sends him to go get that little flower and he climbs up the mountain, it's so majestic. If you watch it on a big TV or like a movie screen. Oh, so legendary, dude.
The only thing I don't like about those movies, and like it was a... an actor's or director's choice is just the Christian Bale Batman voice. Like if he had, if they did like Ben Affleck's Batman was just talking and then it was like modulated.
Okay.
You know, like post.
He didn't actually do it himself.
He didn't go, I'm Batman.
I'm motherfucking Batman.
Dude, if they could, I don't know, in post change that about the Christopher Nolan.
Remember
Batman
the Bane
movie.
Voice?
You yeah, I liked it.
Born in the dark.
I actually liked it.
I was born into it.
I don't like that movie as much as the other two, but I thought Bane was pretty cool. Shout out to Tom Hardy, by the way. He's one of my favorite.
Oh, I love it. Did you ever see Legend?
Yeah.
Where he plays the two brothers and the one. Oh, my God.
His best movie, I think, is the one where he's, I think it's called Warrior, where he's like an MMA.
Oh, my
God. He has to fight his brother. His dorky brother. He's like so much more intimidating.
At the end, when his arm's all mangled and, he's telling his brother, like, he's like, I love you. As he's kicking the ever-loving shit out of him. Yeah,
that's a good-ass movie.
Oh, man.
I want to go watch that movie right now.
And the
now.
Father, he's like torn because the father was an alcoholic and he was a dick. And the mother left and took one of the kids. So they like hated each other because of it.
Right.
You left us. He's like, you left me.
Yo, stop listening to this podcast. You've already given us 46 minutes and go watch that movie. But
so good.
If you stick around, here's something I wanted to talk about. It's a little bit of a phenomenon that I think is like well documented, but I experience it pretty regularly.
Spaghetti.
Have you ever heard a song or an album, or do you have a song or album that takes you immediately, like time travel, to an exact point in your life?
Yes.
Like it's just like a friggin' bookmark.
Dr. Dre, The Chronic 2000 brings you back to, it was released around New Year's Eve. My grandmother just passed away.
Right.
I believe it was it was 2001, I believe, going into 2002. It was the year after Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I went to a party that night. I took ecstasy. I ended up hooking up with a girl that I ended up falling in love with, became my girlfriend. It was just one of the best nights I've ever had as a human being.
Right.
And I got the CD that day. And I remember I was so excited to bring it to the party. We put it on and we jammed to that shit all night long. Like, smoke weed every day. Like,
and you can remember everything
song.
About that moment.
Oh my
right?
God, dude. Like, I'm talking to the carpet, the weather, the drinks that we had that night. Like, I mean, vivid, vivid memories.
So this is I have that. So that's happened to me a couple times. And one of my favorite for anyone who doesn't know, I play guitar. One of my favorite guitar players is John Frusciante. He used to play for the Red Hot Chili Peppers,
yes.
So on a whim, like just randomly, we were driving, me and my girl, and I was like, yo, can you put on Californication, which is a Red Hot Chili Peppers record, and it's got some of my favorite guitar work. Really interesting thing, by the way, if you're into guitar, John Frusciante like tuned to what he was playing rather than like a standard guitar tuning on that album, which is really, really interesting. So like just real quick technical stuff, but like the distances or the ratios between notes on a guitar, like fifth, seventh, ninth, you know, the things that you know, if you know guitar, they're not entirely perfect all the way through. They like, there's a variance of error that's sort of like accepted. And so, okay, in tuning, basically, it's done by sense, right?
Yeah.
And so for the majority of the scale of a guitar or a piano, they are equidistant in fifths and thirds and ninths and octaves, right?
Yeah.
Perfect to the cent, except in a couple acceptable, like there's an acceptable amount of error that we as a we as a society have said, okay, in this case between between these two notes, it's good enough, but it's really like whatever it's 3.149 cents off, right?
Right.
Fajante knew that, and like for Scar Tissue, for example, in the intro where it's like doom 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 doom, he tuned to just those notes so that they were, while they would be imperfect in standard tuning, anyway, he tuned it so that they would be perfectly distant. Anyway, really, really cool, interesting stuff. But that's how I always listen to albums, like little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, let's listen to that record. And as soon as it hit, bro, it was so weird. It was almost like special effects. As soon as Around the World started with the bass,
legendary bass.
I was like, and then Anthony comes in. Ah!
Yeah.
I literally like fell into my own eyes. And I mentioned living in the Middle East. That was the year I left. And it took me right to sitting by the pool at the villa that my parents had. And I was like 17, 18 years old, 17, 16, 17. And I was wearing a silk Hawaiian shirt.
Nice.
With no shirt underneath it, like unbuttoned.
Which he's wearing right now, by the way.
White khaki cargo shorts. And a pair of shell toes. And I was smoking a Davidoff cigarette, which is like a designer European cigarette.
Oh my God.
Which is what we did back then for whatever reason.
Oh.
And I remember listening to that record. It wasn't the first time I listened to that record. Yeah. It wasn't the last time I listened to that record, but I was alone listening to that record on my disc, man, thinking I'm going back to America. Like I'm going home.
But it brought you right back moment.
As soon as I heard it, I was there. I could tell you what it smelled like.
It's
what
like
the temperature, temperature outside felt like.
That's crazy, dude.
What I was thinking. I could feel like the breeze under my Hawaiian shirt.
Oh my God.
It was wild.
I love stuff like that. They say the sense of smell is real big too. Like I'll smell this perfume my mom used to wear, and it'll bring me back to like a moment of my mom. And like, it's crazy because as time goes on and people pass away, you lose sight of what they looked like in your mind because you haven't seen them in so long. And I don't go through my photo albums all the time. Like I'm not trying to deal with that every day. You just move on. And but that sense of smell is something that you can't avoid.
Oh, dude, this is all very true. Like when that Californication moment happened, it was against my will. It was outside of my control.
There's nothing you can do.
I heard it and was like, whoa, I remember everything about this random point in my life that I've never, ever thought about ever, right? Yep. And to talk about the scent, when I was in high school, I dated this girl like pretty much from my sophomore year until like the year after we graduated.
Yeah.
And she's an evil, horrible human being.
Beautiful girl.
But she wore, you know, Lucky Jeans. She wore their perfume, right? Like this, but that's the time I was in high school.
Curve.
You know?
That's when you were rocking.
I graduated
curve.
In 02, bro. I was in the blue polo sport bottle.
Ooh, the blue polo sport bottle with the chrome tip.
Or just straight Tommy cologne. I got no qualms admitting
that. Yo, you don't know nothing about that Dracar Noir, though.
Dude. So she wore that, and I would smell that perfume from time to time throughout my life since then, and I just get heated. I'm just like, oh, man, I hate you.
Freaking piece of shit.
I hate you. It's just completely innocent people.
I think I'm going to bring.
Just smelled like her.
I'm going to bring back Z Cavaricci's, right? These were pants that we used to wear back in the day. They were like fully pleated pants, and they had this little thing on the zipper, this little white tag that said Z Cavaricci's. Picture a young coil. Years old. No, not eight. I was a little older than that. Probably like 10 or 11, like fifth, sixth grade, whatever. We would go to this place called the Devon Movie Theater, right? Where all the St. Tim's chicks hung out, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was trying to get deep rooted. I don't know if you guys know what deep rooted is, but it's when you first kiss. It's like the virgin thing, but for kissing.
Got to get past that.
And you got to get that prude out of the way, dude. So everybody would try to go to the St. Tim's girls because they were legendary deep rooters, right?
Okay.
So I got the crazy turtleneck with the cardigan sweater over top.
Wow.
Right? Picture like circa Vanilla Ice. You know what I mean? Like with the patent leather dress shoes with the metal tip.
Dude, you look so good.
Oh my God, you couldn't tell me I wasn't shitting on the whole squad that night.
Wow.
I got the, you know, you get the Dracar Noir out all crazy. You give yourself 75 sprays and you put one on your piece.
Oh,
just cause,
yeah.
Just because, you know, you haven't even kissed a girl yet, but you never know. It might go down the night the way we looking.
In the turtleneck.
Oh man, dude. And then you get those Z calves out.
Dude, you can't fuck in a turtleneck though.
No, it's that, you know, fucking in a turtleneck is crazy.
That's insane.
Yo, I don't even know if it's possible.
I don't know, dude. A lot of us husky guys are like, I'll keep the tea on. I'm not trying to ruin this. Yeah. I'm not trying to ruin this for either of us.
You know, let's not ruin the mood right now.
But a turtleneck?
Yo.
I wonder, dude. But yo, if you are listening to this and you've ever fucked in a turtleneck,
holler at
man
us.
Or
know,
woman,
man.
You have to just admit
yo,
that.
Yo, if you're a girl and you fucked...
You just have to admit that right now.
Yo.
Just come off that info.
Yo, shout out to the Devon
I understand
movie.
That it's private.
The Devon Movie Theater,
the
day I got the Prudent, if I'm not mistaken, the movie that was there that night was Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Dude, so you can't watch that now without
now,
thinking about
it. Now I just think about...
Sweet
Margaret Ann and that tongue.
First girl I ever kissed, her name was Joy, and that's all I remember about it. It's like a part of my mind was like, you just have to remember the name of the first person you kissed.
Sick.
And I don't remember anything else about the situation.
What's crazy is like, we're so little. Like, think about what you look like when you were in fifth grade.
Oh, dude, it was a wreck.
I look at fifth graders now, I'm like, there's no way they're into that shit. Yo, fifth graders are getting it in these days, probably.
Dude, can you even imagine?
Listen, social media?
At the age that we're at, I remember there being like, this sounds so disgusting, but there was like one porn that we all got for like a couple days each.
You need to
rotate
that.
Like you needed to let people borrow it. That's, you know what I mean?
Girls
the tape?
These girls
I'm not talking about I would never touch anybody's mag, but the tape, the tape got passed around.
Girls used to have this thing called a slam book. And it was a book that all the girls wrote in about like the guy they liked or if the guy they hooked up with, and they would pass
like
it around.
Girls.
And they would pass it around to one another, right? And the guys always try to get control of the slam book. Well, now that's social media, right?
Dude.
So they probably just blast that shit.
I'm just saying, I wasn't like just talking about letting people borrow porn because I wanted to. I was getting to the point that when the internet came about, We used to pick like, and it was like a list of HTML links, and it would be like blonde, big boobs, and we'd be like, yes,
big
and we
boobs.
Would, we would click it,
no doubt,
dude, and it would load, like, ding, 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 and then you'd have like a piece of her hair, ding, 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 or at her forehead.
Oh,
we would like go
man.
Play dodgeball and come back, and it would
be
like
ready.
At her upper chest,
and
we'd
like,
be
yeah.
like, yeah, any minute now.
Oh.
Can you imagine growing up though? In a world where you could just be like anything you want to see,
oh
but
my
not
God.
Not even just that. Like, imagine when I was a kid, dude. If I knew that you could just Google like how to build a bomb or whatever, I would have been in so much trouble when I was a kid.
All kids,
I used to tie lighters together, and
all kids do this.
Friggin',
by the way,
yeah, and I would tie lighters together with like a woodpecker firecracker with an extended fuse.
Yeah.
And just like, you know what I mean? If somebody told me like, dude, we should just go on Google and figure out how to build a pipe bomb.
Bro,
I'd be arrested.
I got your ear. We used to build these huge bonfires, right? And we would take a propane tank from a grill.
Yeah.
And we would throw it in and then we would run.
Can you imagine if we had access?
Do you know how fucking dumb that is?
And I know some of you guys are younger, so you need to imagine that we're from a world where there were legendary sources of information, like legendary as in you weren't sure if they really existed. Like, for example, there was the Anarchist Cookbook. You remember hearing about this?
Oh my God, yeah, the bomb recipes and shit.
Dude, at the time, you heard that it existed, but like you couldn't go to the library and get it.
Yep.
There was no website for it.
Faces of Death?
People would literally just tell you, there's a book called the Anarchist Cookbook, and it'll teach you how to make long distance phone calls for free and build. And I would just be like, I need it. Imagine instead if they were like, and this is the web address when you were like in fifth grade.
And you can go read that right now.
Dude, I was so, so dumb, like in mischievous ways, you know? I remember, dude, I saw Home Alone and immediately put friggin' 4-inch nails in my uncle's shoe.
That's crazy.
Like immediately was like, yeah, that looks fun. Boom. And he put his foot in it and was like, what the hell? None of them stabbed him. They just kind of rolled under the bed of his foot. And he was like, what is this?
As kids,
and I was just like, oh, it wasn't me.
As kids, that's what we do. You know? For boys, pyromania is a thing.
Right.
Like, we all go through, like, a fire fascination. You get on the woods, light shit on fire. You know what I mean? That's it.
And, dude, when you become fascinated with girls, it's like, that immediately consumes you, too.
That takes over.
I tell this story all the time, man. At the time that I first started liking, I can remember it happening. There was a girl, her name was Jennifer Dillinger from Broward County, Florida. So if you're out there,
yeah,
I would love to just say hi.
Hey.
She used to come hang with me and my cousins in our yard, and we would play touch football and frisbee and whatever. And then one day, she wasn't just another person there. She was my entire universe. It just happened. I was just like, wow, you are incredible. Yep. You're everything. And I trained my dog that I had at the time that if I let him out of the yard, he would run to her house. And I would.
So you could be like, oh,
so then I would get
fault.
On my bike.
Yeah.
And I'd ride the long way around saying his name around the block.
Fancy seeing you here.
Dude, this is how smart I thought I was at this point in my life.
That shit's genius. Though.
I would leave my house and her house is to the left. I'd go to the right and take the long way around the block.
So it looks like
Benny,
you're going home.
Benny, calling my dog. Benny.
Oh, hey.
Benny.
Oh, I just happened to pass
by. Benny. By then, she'd be like, he got out again, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, so who'd you get for homeroom, you know?
Oh, my God.
Remember when they used to send your homeroom to, like, your mailbox before school started?
Oh, yeah, you get the list?
Yeah, yeah, I'd be like,
who's your fifth period?
I could literally, first of all, for those of you listening, this is not like an episode of The Wonder Years. This was really my life. I let my dog one time, more than once, but this is a true story of one Tuesday afternoon. I let him out just because I wanted to know who she got for homeroom, and that would start the convo.
Yo,
I remember
when boys
took weeks to train him.
I remember when
putting treats in his yard.
When boys and girls gym class split up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like from, I think it was like from fifth to sixth grade. That was when the switch clicked.
Dude, I wonder if Jennifer Dillinger heard this and is so creeped out by me now.
I'm not even going to say who mine was, but she'll never listen to this anyway. But she probably knows who she is. Her initials are NC.
Whoa.
This
is crazy.
NC.
I wonder how it works now, though. Do you just like, so I just explained to you, I wanted to know if she was going to be in my homeroom.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I did.
So do you text them now? Yo, remember having to call their
dude, and talk to their dad?
Yo, now they can just text and all this shit. Yo, we had to call
what
the
is
house.
The dude, what is the equivalent of training my dog so that you can have a moment with
today?
Her? Today? Is it just, hey, send me a picture of your titties?
I think it is send nudes. No, maybe it's like buying a drone and flying the drone over her house.
Oh, wow. It's as creepy as it sounds.
Yeah, it's out there, cuz.
I was a creep. And
hey, all boys are creeps. That's what we do.
I wonder, though.
Yo, that's what we
do. I got to ask my nephew, because my nephew's like 12, 13. He probably won't tell me.
They'll never tell you. It's a secret society. All we ask is trust.
He'll probably be like, I don't even like girls. I don't know what you're talking about. But he's probably.
Yep.
Dude. I can't imagine what it would be like now. It was just so different then. We also like worked as a pack.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yo, you ask her.
It's a pack hunting mentality, bro.
You ask her if she's ever asked about me, but don't mention me.
I used to go.
And my friend would be like, how?
Do you remember when cigarettes became cool when you were little?
Oh, dude.
I used to go into the store with a note that we handwrote, and it said, please give my son a pack of cigarettes. Here is the money. And it's in terrible handwriting.
Oh, man.
Probably in crayon. And the dude at the counter looks at you, mind you, I'm like 8, you know, super young, but not 8, like literally like 5th grade. And, you know, they give you these cigarettes, and then we would sit behind this bank up in where we lived, and we would practice inhaling. And we would
practice.
We would take a puff. We would go, oh, my God, my mom. Oh, my mom.
Dude, the very first time I ever smoked. We should talk about cigarettes for a while because, first of all, it is the coolest thing in the world that it's not cool anymore.
I know.
That is so amazing. Congratulations.
Thank God, man.
Congratulations to your generation. You guys have nailed that.
Yeah, but now
I know the Juul and all that other stuff.
Yeah, now you guys are doing the e-cigarettes and heroin.
But thank you so much for really killing cigarettes. Like, now as a grown man, when I have a few drinks or I'm in Miami or something, I'll have one and I get the dirtiest looks and it's awesome. I should.
Wow,
they're awesome.
You're
they're
right.
Ugly. They're disgusting. You don't want them around you. I shouldn't be be doing it. It's so dope that your generation is like that. But when I was a kid, it was very cool. And the first time somebody gave me a cigarette, it was with the intent to gross me out so I would never want one. And I was just like, oh no, this is cool.
Oh no, this is the coolest shit I've ever
done.
And
I thought I got mad high because I caught like a little buzz.
Oh, you always
do. I thought I was like, whoa. Yeah. And I like immediately wanted another one. It was a very bad thing for me. But I smoked for like 15 years, like real smoker, and then was just like, nah, and then just immediately stopped. So I don't know. Thank God that I had that ability to do that. And then now I can smoke them, whatever. Like I could buy a pack because I know I'm going to do some freaking whiskey and gingers and when I'm in that social drinking
mode. When you're drinking,
it's
good.
Yeah. And then not need them or anything like that after that. So thank God. But man, super kudos to this generation because like you were mentioning the note, we had the cowboys. So this cowboy guy that worked at a gas station would just sell them. He would just straight sell them to kids. And at the time we thought he was a hero. Now I'm like, wow, I wonder how creepy or weird
I got
he
an
was.
Even bigger scumbag. The guy that we used to stand in front of the six pack store on the boulevard and we would ask people to go in and get us alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, the runner. And a lot of times they were homeless dudes. You know what I mean? But I think about it now, if I was walking into a six pack store, and a bunch of eighth graders came up to me and they were like, yo, could you grab us like 1840s of Old English? I would be like, wait a minute, 1840 ounce bottles of Old English? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Dude, so the cowboy, as he was known on our block, legit, you didn't have to lie to him or anything. You'd just be like, pack a Marlboro menthols, please. And he'd be like, okay.
Fucking right.
Dude, barely like over the counter, barely could see him over the counter. And he'd just be like, here you go. So that kid just, or that dude just straight up didn't care.
He lost.
Yeah, no doubt that guy got the friggin' court summons or whatever at some point when the cops sent some.
Remember they had that sign that said sting. like if you serve anyone tobacco under the age of 18, you will be hit with the furthest extent of the law.
But they really did the society in general or whatever did the most
they shat on cigarettes.
Dude,
big
they
time.
Did the most awesome hit job on it.
Well, you know, like overseas, when you see like the packs of cigarettes on the wall, they all have gruesome pictures of like hospital footage.
That's awesome.
So like it'll have a skull and crossbones and the Newport box is behind it, like in the cellophane. So it'll show a picture of like a bloody toilet.
Yeah, when I was a kid, though, serious.
A bloody toilet. What the fuck is that?
It's insane. It's insane, is what
that's
it is.
Crazy.
When I was a kid, though, I don't want to say that, like, I was influenced by advertisement because I definitely wasn't. I was influenced by, like,
your peers.
My peers. That's like, kids that I thought was cool smoking cigarettes and then genuinely liking cigarettes. I'm so glad that that's not the case for people anymore. But I also want to acknowledge that, like, the Marlboro Man and Joe Camel or whatever, they were cool too. Like they were everywhere in the advertisements. Like I used to rip the Joe Camel illustrations out of some magazines, like the ones when he was on like the big box Chevy friggin' with the varsity jacket on or whatever. Anyway, whenever they decided like, yo, we're going to totally shit on this entire industry, as a society, they did a really good job, like eradicating.
You know what it was too? Those commercials, the truth commercials.
Yeah,
they really just told the truth, and it was like here are some of the compounds that are in cigarettes. It was like rat poison, you know, horse semen. It was all kinds of crazy.
The very
shit.
First time that I was on an airplane, you were still allowed to smoke on an airplane. Isn't that's that the world nuts? I want people to realize that I'm from.
Their video.
I was in high school, and you could still smoke in a restaurant.
Yeah, smoking or non.
Smoking or non.
Yep.
Dude, I can't even imagine, and I've done this, but I can't imagine bacon, egg, cheese, and a cigarette. Like, I've done that in a restaurant.
We used to smoke in the movie theater. Not allowed, but we would just smoke anyway.
That's freaking crazy, man. Anyway, good on the world and good on this generation.
Kudos, guys.
Fucking
you did it.
Snarling on that. I mean, the Juul thing is super corny.
Yeah.
You're smoking an iPod, bro. Like an iPod shuffle.
Yo, man, I gotta charge my fucking Juul.
You need a USB cord to smoke?
Yo, if you need a USB for your nicotine addiction... Seriously, dude, like
you're such an herb, but
swallow that.
But it's better.
If we have to say it is better.
It is better. Yeah. Don't smoke cigarettes. But you really should be made fun of for that too. Yeah.
Just smoke pot.
For real.
You know?
I don't know, depending how old you are.
If you're like 8 or above, you know.
You got to do what you got to do. We've discussed this already. If you're 8, you have to do what you're going to do.
No, 8's my age, dude.
Dude, once you're 8 years old.
Everything's on the board when you're 8. You're old enough to vote. You're old enough to go to war. You're in there.
Listen, if you're old enough.
Imagine seeing an 8-year-old walking.
You know what happened? You know what does happen at 8 though? The world starts telling you, like, enough is enough.
Yeah. You've had enough fun.
You've had 7 years of pretending that you had friends that aren't really there.
That's all you got. You know,
you had 7 years.
You know, Santa Claus? Guess what, motherfucker?
Yeah.
By the way, he's real. I'm just saying that. For real, for real.
Yeah. You're not going to marry Cindy Crawford.
You know that poster you have on your wall of that supermodel? Guess what? She doesn't even know you exist.
And she never will.
Your dreams just get shattered in one day. What if somebody sat you down and just shattered every dream you have? You know how you want to be an astronaut? And you want to also get a barbecue grill in the spaceship? And you want to go to Mars and find that chick from Total Recall with the three tits? Guess what?
Dude, this is probably...
It ain't happening.
This is probably... more for another episode, but we should really dig into how weird it is to grow up. Like how disappointing in some ways, how I want to tell a real quick story because I think this sums it up. When I was like 22 years old, I got a job with Chase Bank when it was a really big deal. I had to buy shirts and ties and suits and whatever else. I got a cubicle and a nameplate. I had 3 weeks of paid training. I was assigned a laptop, which was like a really big deal at the time. And I had a salary.
You were crushing it.
Right. And they had a cafeteria and a meal plan and vacation days and sick days. This was like the first time that I wasn't making minimum wage. And they gave me a contract. Right. It was multiple pages. And they said, you know, take the weekend and look it over. And we hope that you're going to accept this position. You did wonderfully in the training. So I took that shit home to my dad. And I said, Dad, you got to help me look this over.
What does this mean?
You got to help me look this over and make sure that I'm doing the right thing. And he peeped through it and he turned the page real quick and he goes, this is like $24,000 a year, man. I don't know. Do you want the job or not?
I know you think this is great.
Like, I know you think this is a big deal because they made you put a shirt and tie on.
Yeah.
But this is a telemarketing job, bro. Do you want it or not? Basically.
We've all telemarketed.
No, basically what I did was I like answered your Chase Manhattan phone calls and it was like, oh yeah, I can help you with that. And then at the very end, I'd be like, oh, we've got this service. It'll protect your identity and you can add it for just $2.99 a month or whatever. And then people would hang up. That was my job. But I was like, oh man, this is a $375 paycheck. I better have my dad look this over.
One day I'm going to be driving an Aston Martin Vanquish. You know? I'm going to have a house on the fucking main line. I got my own cubicle. I'm doing it real big.
I don't know what your dad was like, but my dad was like such a hardworking, tough dude that he just could not be bothered.
Yeah, mine was a bricklayer.
So I got him to pay attention to this. I was like, I'm coming home because I need you to look over this contract.
I need help.
I mean, this is a big job at Chase.
A big job. Yo, this shit is monumental.
He sat
right now.
Down. I think he was eating like gavadils and broccoli.
He was eating like a bowl of nails.
That my mother, had to make after she worked like two shifts, you know?
Women are
He was
the
like,
best.
Make me an elaborate fucking gavadils and broccoli meal. Sits down, starts eating. I'm like, Dad, I really need you to just take a second and look at this. He flips the page. He's like, Aunt, this is 24 grand a year.
He's like, you bring me this while I'm eating my fucking elaborate plate.
Basically, they're saying yes or no. Just say yes or no. Yes or no, do you want this job?
This is a bunch of filler, and it's 24 Gs. You win it?
Anyway, that was one of my growing up moments when I was like, oh, I'm still not shit. Still definitely not shit.
I remember I had a paper route with the Daily News, right? You put the bag on your bike, on like the front thing of your bike, right? And I really wanted this pair of sneakers. It was a pair of Delta Forces, and they had them at the Jock Shop on Frankfurt and Cotman. Yeah. And the only way I could get these kicks is if I got a job. So my aunt pulled a couple strings with the Daily News lady, and she got me a gig, right? So I start doing the route, and, you know, you collect the money, you do your books yourself, and it's a lot of responsibility for a little kid. And I remember it was raining one day, and it was like monsooning, and I was out there riding my little bike. You know, the papers were soaking wet. I went home that day, and I looked at how much money I made for the week, and it was like $13. And I remember the shoes were like $85. And I remember I was like, yo, so I got to do like 3 months of this?
Dude, it's just crazy how perspective changes, man.
I was like, yo, I'm out.
And this is kind of full circle, man. Back to the way I was feeling or talking about feeling at the beginning of the episode. It's like I have things I never dreamt I could.
Me too.
And coming up along the way, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. These are times that exciting things happened in my life that I thought were it.
Yep. At the time?
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
I mean, by the time I was 27, I had built and sold a business. Like, I thought, like, that's a wrap. By the time I was 32, I had sold a piece of software to the Navy. Whoa. Right?
That's insane right there.
But now, for the last couple of years, it's been the same thing. And I think that's where, you know, you have to have perspective. You have to be like, you know, I've come far and maybe in many cases further than a lot of people. And then also, you know, maintain that hunger and, you know, and get after it. But you need perspective, man. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking right now is like, there was a time, bro, and it wasn't all that long ago. And this is a God honest story. His name is, Naji Ibrahim. If you want to look it up yourself, he was one of my best friends. I lived with him in Springfield, Missouri, on a couch.
Wow.
In the room in which he raised alligators for money. I've been there. Before there, you know, I had my own place. I lived with a girl. I thought it was going great. I worked at that Chase job I was just talking about.
You were killing the game.
She cheated on me. I lost that job. I ended up on a couch. I worked at the Olive Garden. My roommate was a reptile, a freaking alligator.
Uh-huh.
That Naji would take these alligators when they were babies from an alligator farm, and you raise them to a certain weight, and then you return them, and then they're raised further and released into the wild. So, like, I've been to a point where my bedroom was an alligator farm. I would wake up and the thing would be hissing, and I had to make sure that all of my appendages were on the couch even when I was asleep.
Wow. I got an idea.
Because it couldn't get that high.
I got an idea for a business, right?
Right.
It's called Midget Uber.
Okay.
So
can't say midget. Little people Uber.
All right. Tiny people Uber. So these tiny people, you call them, right? Like an Uber, but they show up. Like, say you go to the club and you have your car there. You don't want to leave it there. So these little guys, they come on these little miniature motorcycles and they come to where you are, right? Then they get in your car and you get in the car with them and they drive your car to your house. So Whoa. Then once they get to your house, they get out and they get their little motor scooter and then they go back to where they were at. So you have your car at your house and you're safe at your house and all is well in the world.
Wow. Well, with the exception of it requiring little people and little vehicles and the name.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Right. Because they could put the little bike in the trunk.
Basically, you could also just have a partner Uber team and one would take you home and the other one would drive your car home.
Okay.
But
more overhead.
I understand.
A lot less room overhead if you catch my
Guys, that is the episode for today. Listen, I know it got personal.
But that's what this is about, dude. We're flying at the seat of our pants. We don't know what's about to happen.
I hope that it meant something or you're related to some part of the story. Let us know an album that takes you back.
Yep.
A scent that reminds you of such and such or such and such. Your favorite childhood memory. Your rock bottom. Whatever, man.
And if you're in recovery.
This is the human experience.
If you're in recovery, it's one day at a time. You ever need somebody to holler at, DM me.
It's just that's amazing, by the way, man. Congratulations, and that's so dope that you want to help other people as well. Thank you guys for tuning in. Shout out to our Hall of Heroes. We're going to go through the names next episode. We're going to give away a mug next episode.
The mugs are coming.
So if you have not yet joined our Hall of Heroes, you can go about doing that.
And please tell a friend to tell a friend. Post this for us, guys. Please help us out. It's your boy Coyle. It's your boy Rack. We're just trying to do things, okay?
See you next week.
Peace.